This portion of the show is called What Black Women Be Thinking.
So let's hear what she thinks, coming from the perfectly nicknamed the bad girl of comedy.
I earned it. You know, I wasn't always a mom and Girl Scout leader.
She's got 3 decades in the industry and still going strong.
Pressure makes diamonds. You know what I'm saying? So you're either going to rise to the occasion or you're going to fall out by the wayside.
The bad girl of comedy and OG in the game, Lunell, now on The Pulse.
Bam, 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 bam.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. People doing big things. We hear their story. We get a chance to talk to them. And perhaps I get interviewed. We've got the original bad girl of comedy, comedian, actor, host. You write any books yet?
I'm in the process.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Lunell's in the building. Thank you for coming in. We got to get that sound effect.
Yeah, I lost my favorite club noise.
Yeah, go ahead with the air horns and what have you. I appreciate you coming in. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
The original bad girl of comedy. How'd you get that? I mean, you've been doing this for 30 years now. Who gave you that label?
A comedy promoter named Rick Sullivan back in Oakland, California, gave me this name, you know, 29 years ago, if I've been in the game 30, which I think is 30 plus, actually. And I earned it. You know, I wasn't always a mom and Girl Scout leader. You know, I got into some things, but it didn't ever affect my comedy, praise God.
So the original bad girl of comedy label wasn't necessarily just connected to what you were doing on stage.
No.
I was doing some things in the streets too. So you were out in the streets.
I needed people to feel me.
And so it stuck.
You can't come back.
It stuck and you continued on the comedy path.
Yeah, and I like the handle too.
Okay.
Yeah.
You roll with it.
Yes.
How'd you originally get started? Well, did you grow up in a comedy family? You said you were out in these streets. When did you know this was something you wanted to do?
Well, it wasn't because of that. I got 7 brothers and sisters. We're from Arkansas. So nobody in my family's ever been in entertainment professionally except me.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, I used to do theater. And I wanted to do theater because I liked the adoration that people got afterwards, you know. I think is, you know, from wanting some attention, being, you know, the baby of all these kids and stuff like that. And this, everything morphed into a local television station that I was hosting shows, doing what you do.
Okay.
And that's why I know about, you know, some of the things we were talking about earlier. And then a show called Comic View started.
Yeah.
Where we were able to get on national television, and I did that like 9 seasons in a row, and it's something I guess I'm it's a gift, you know. Everybody can't do it. Everybody thinks they can do it because it looks so easy, but everybody can't do it.
I feel like everybody thinks they can do comedy.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that they could do TV or interviews or what have you. Mm-hmm. Most people watching think they could do professional sports when they want to sit there and criticize the person who's there.
Yeah.
But how'd you know you had the gift? You say you're youngest of 7. No, so I'd imagine youngest of 8.
Yeah.
House could have been comedy. Like you're going back and forth with each other. Like, when'd you know I can actually do this?
Didn't you just hear me talking to my sister?
I did.
And didn't you hear the other one then crash the car?
Off camera.
So there you go.
Behind the scenes.
A lot of funny people in my family. I never grew up thinking I wanted to be a comedian, per se. I just knew that I did want to be on television. I wanted to be in entertainment because being the youngest, everybody was grown. They were out. I spent a lot of time watching television in my room and stuff like that. So, and I do believe that as far as comedy or any arts is a gift. Like, I can't do what Denzel does. You know, when he did Malcolm X, he had these long dissertations, and I imbibed in too much cannabis to be remembering all those lines. But in comedy, you can say what you is in your own. You're your own writer, your own director. And I just had a flair for that.
You were always this kind of outspoken person.
No, I don't think so. I think that when I was young, I was not like this. But, you know, life be lifing. And you're either going to speak up for yourself or you're going to get sucked under by life. And so I just had a way of looking at things. Plus, I think that comedians are like wired a little different. Our brains are wired to see the funny in sometimes tragic things.
Yeah. For 30 plus years now, you've been doing this, kind of on this journey. We were talking during the break before about women on this journey or the lack thereof. Now, was it harder kind of getting into it, going through that path, particularly the bad girl of comedy, stepping into that field as a strong woman?
Well, I think in any field that any woman goes into is harder for the woman. excuse me. Also being a mother, you know, people are used to daddy going out on the road and daddy being in the military or daddy being an entertainer, or daddy being in the band or being a rock star. They're used to that. But it's different when mommy's not there to make the birthday cake and when mommy's not there for sing Christmas carols and mommy's not there to cook the food. Mm. It's a very difficult road to travel. But mommy can also pay for all that. So,
right. Mommy's been doing
it. What do you want? You know, what do you want? They really want you, but, you know, it's like pick your poison. The kids want you. The teenagers just want the money.
Right.
They don't want you no more.
When you start doing it, you're going out there, you're doing Comic View, you're on tour, you're making all these shows in this level of success.
I wasn't on tour. I never went on tour.
Really?
Nobody ever took me on tour except one person.
Who took you on tour?
That was Cat Williams.
Really?
Cat Williams took me on tour twice. Nobody has ever took me on tour. I've never been on tour with anybody else. I've done some dates with other people.
Okay.
But nobody's never taken me on tour.
They can't handle you? They're scared of being overshadowed? Why? Tell me why.
You
let's
said
get,
that,
let's get
not
into
me.
It. I said it.
You said that, not me. No, I don't know. I think that that's the same reason that I have not been a part of a television show. If it's not mine, mm-hmm. you know... I think I did like 9 episodes of the George Lopez show before, and I just finished a show that should be coming out next month. I think on Paramount Plus, it's called Crutch. It's a Tracy Morgan show, sort of a spinoff of The Neighborhood, and I did that whole season.
Okay.
I'm also on this other show called Hacks, right? That's on HBO Max, but I'm just in and out of there. But I'm saying I've never done a different world. Or a Martin, or my wife and kid been part of a family. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe my personality and my presence is very strong. You know, even when I'm not trying to do anything, I've got the it factor. I just have to cop to it. People look at me and they pay attention to me, and everything I say is 10 times more relevant than sometime the star. And maybe they may feel like I'm trying to take over when I'm actually not. I'm just being me. So I think that God's going to give me my own show or my own platform so I don't have to have any of those problems.
Is that the goal? Is that what you want? Your own show?
Yeah, I want to have my own late night talk show.
Do you?
Yeah, but from everybody I've talked to, from the networks to the hosts that are on now to people who've had shows, they said ain't nobody going to let me do it.
Why not? We're on Fox Soul right now, too.
Yeah.
We should talk to Fox Soul, see if they can give you a late night talk show.
Yeah, Fox Soul has been exposed to me several times. They've never offered me a show either.
Keep asking you to come back.
Yeah, but I don't know if Fox Soul has the budget.
Now that's a different discussion.
God bless you, Fox Soul.
Like, that's
God bless you,
honey.
Yeah.
So that's the goal. You want to have the late night talk show.
I would like to be the next female to have a late night talk show. The only people that I know have had one is Monique and Robin Thede. And we don't even know where Robin is anymore. And Monique's off doing motion pictures, winning Academy Awards. And she was just on tour with Cat as well. And so there's just a lack of diversity in late night period, whether it be me or some Latin woman or some Korean woman or anything. There's just a lack of diversity in late night.
Okay. I think we need to work on making that happen.
Well, today wasn't just the day to start thinking about it. You guys should have noticed that, you know.
I'm not making decisions. Well, I'm going to connect to the people who can. That's what we're doing.
Well, you're not making decisions yet. You might own a television company
Speak
one day.
Speak it into existence. You know? And if that happens, I'm giving you a late night show.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and figure out
it.
How we can make
you
that
heard
happen
it.
Soon. I need somebody else pulling for me.
Yeah, okay. I'll pull for
up,
you. You pull for me.
Let's do that.
Okay.
You mentioned Cat Williams.
Yes.
I have not had the pleasure of interviewing him. Interviewed
right.
a lot of different comedians. But seeing from a distance, he talks about how he's different. About how he's giving people opportunities, how he's not that. And it seems like you're kind of reinforcing that. He's different.
Yeah, he's an enigma. You know, he's not just some guy. Like, he's made himself into a phenomenon. And he's definitely given lots of opportunities to people and more opportunities to women than most. You know, mm-hmm. he's always got women on his tours. He always has. At least two, you know, and I think he'll continue to do that whenever he's touring. He gave me my big opportunities. Our tour was so successful, that we made a movie called American Hustle, made a movie. Then I think maybe 5 years ago, 4 years ago, went out on tour with them again.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he's the only one. He's the only one who's ever took me on tour. But now it's fine. But now I don't want to be on tour with nobody
now
else.
Now you're doing your own
doing
tour.
Doing my own. Yeah.
Like maybe you'll let them on your tour if that's how you feel.
Or maybe not.
Right?
Yeah.
Doing your own thing.
Yeah.
A lot of different comedians that we've had here haven't had the opportunity to have Cat Williams here. And a lot of people talk about that kind of the comedy fraternity. People are helping each other. I did all of these things. It sounds like what you're saying, what Kat's saying, which a couple saying, you're kind of in that fraternity or you're not, you know, and it's not as open and welcoming to everybody as perhaps we would like. Were they scared of you?
I think I'm in a bit of a fraternity, but it just has to do with the fraternity I would be considered in, I think, was the people who keep it really real.
Okay.
The people who don't bite their tongue,
right.
who don't really always play by the rules. Renegade.
Okay.
Renegade. Some used to say underdog, but, you know, not so under anymore. But I think that everybody thinks, I don't want to just call names, but, you know, if you take people like... some rap artists, mm-hmm. maybe, have decided they want to step into the comedy genre, but they really don't. They just really want to try it out, or else they'd still be doing it and sticking with it and doing the grind like we do. They already start off an advantage because people want to see that person. So people are going to pay to see that person. But then after they see that person, they realize, oh, this person isn't really a great comic. They're a great artist, but not a great comic, then it's already too late. They've already been to the show, already got your money, it's too late. And then other television stars want to do stand-up comedy as well. I think they're just doing it just to see and with their feet or as a hobby. But this life is not as luxurious as it is to be a rap star or to be a television star. This is a really hard grind of a life. And if you're not built for it, I'm training like a racehorse now. But if you're not built for it, you're just not going to last in this. Because maybe your feelings, your ego, all that is going to be crushed. And then that's what makes, you know, pressure makes diamonds. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you're either going to rise to the occasion or you're going to fall off by the wayside.
So 30 plus years of doing this, you're currently on tour. You were just in Philly, going to Chicago in October. At City Winery, various places, continuing to do that. You still love this?
Yes, I do, because I feel like it's like my therapy. You know, I get to say what I want about what I want for an hour or an hour plus. It's not up for discussion. It's a total dictatorship. You know, it's not. I'm not asking you questions. What do you think? It's like, I feel like this. don't you? And the people who come to see me, they pretty much feel the way that I do, because I aim my comedy to the common regular folk. That's what I am. I just have an uncommon job. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. I have security because my wild self will get up and go to the store in my nightgown, you know, and look crazy.
Security's in the building, y'all.
Yeah. So they keep me from wandering around. True. I don't have a hotel room key because they know I'll be wandering around the hotel, dip, dip, dip. I'm like, you know, and it's a whole bunch of things to save me from myself.
So security is protecting you from you.
Oh, as absolutely.
Much as they're protecting
just
you
walking
from the rest of
sure.
us.
Sure. Yeah.
When you look back, still going strong, still doing tours, we're getting ready to get you a late night show. You got a couple different, you know, movies, TV, what have you. Do you allow yourself after 30 years to sit back? You know, you sold out the Apollo, you did Broadway, you've done the different shows. Does it register with you? Like, huh, I'm having a pretty serious career. Like, do you ever just sit back and appreciate what you've accomplished?
Well, I had not really. I was just like, because I didn't have a show, because I didn't have a thing, I'm like, I'm just a chick in the club because they're not letting me get any further. Or I get on these shows and I'm just a little comic relief and not really a character. So I had not really pictured my career in that way. But more recently, I've, you know, been getting acknowledgments, like I'm in the Arkansas Black History Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I am a holder of a proclamation in Las Vegas that gives me my own day. I've got a key to the Las Vegas Strip. Mm-hmm. I just recently got a key to the city of Atlanta and got a day in Atlanta. And so the accolades are coming and making me realize that maybe I am a sort of a big deal, but I don't walk around in that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, okay. Unless it comes to walking down the street or valet parking or, you know, I'm not going to walk down.
I'm going to need a good spot.
Yeah, right, you guys, were, we were talking about the food and you were like, oh, it's walkable. I'm like, what?
You say, I'm
not walking down
walking
the street.
Down the street.
No.
You can send one of us. We'll go get it for you.
No, I got people for that.
But it is, even if you don't acknowledge it, you sit back. I mean, you have, and I, intentionally, we didn't start naming names, but I will. Like, you've done Netflix shows that people like Chappelle.
Yeah.
You've worked with. You had a residency, you know,
in Jimmy Kimmel's Vegas. Comedy Club in Las Vegas.
So some of those names, right, some of those really well-known names who I guess you would acknowledge are in that kind of category.
Yeah.
They're all calling you.
Yes.
So that's got to mean something.
It does. I mean, if you have people like Kat, Jimmy Kimmel, Chappelle, Chelsea Handler, you know, Chaka Khan. If you got people like that that fool with you heavily, then that just means that they can rely on you to do your job. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to have you around when you're having a bad day, including your audience. Your audience don't pay for your bad day. I've done shows where I was sick. I've done shows when I was needing knee surgery. I've done shows when I was miscarrying. I've done shows when my eyes were swollen shut. The show must go on. I come from that thing. And if there's any way that I can crawl on the stage and still do the show, I'm going to do it. If I have to cancel a show, it's usually because I have another commitment. Like, I have in my contract that I can cancel a comedy show if I have to go film something. But never because I'm
late
sick.
Late night TV show.
Yeah, like my late night TV show. But never if I'm sick or my kid's sick or anything, I'll still go do the show.
The humility is interesting because you said all of those things. They know they can rely on you. They know you're going to be on stage. They know you're going to do the job. The thing you went right past is those people, there's a lot of people who are reliable. They're calling you because they also know you're going to deliver. Like, that is,
because
I'll be on time, you know, and nobody called me. Like, they
lies,
hold up. Chappelle still ain't called me back to see if we could go ahead and do the show. So there is that level of not just reliability, but legends are putting you in the legend category.
And that word has been used. The only person I really care about impressing and recognizing that I'm a legend is my daughter. I wish she would get that clue.
But yeah, we'll send it. We'll send it.
Mommy's a big deal, dang it. Right. But no, she realizes that too. I just try to not let any of this go to my head, because anything could happen. You might have a car accident, lose your voice. What you gonna do then? You know, I've even had laryngitis, but miraculously it comes back right before the show. Or, you know, you hear lose my voice a little bit. Now, it's just that I just don't like, I don't like cockiness. It makes me, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me. I don't like people saying, well, I'm great, or I'm good, or I'm really, really good. I don't even like that, because it's really up for the people to say that about you. It's not for you to say that. You know what I'm saying?
And sold out shows and TV shows and Broadway and a 30 plus year career seem to indicate that the people are saying.
Well,
that.
The people are talking.
The people are talking.
The people are talking. And I will.
Thank you, people.
Thank you to the people.
Appreciate
but I'm
it.
I'm not going to run around and say it.
No, I'll say it.
Okay, you can say
it. I'm going to say it. That's a legend. When you're sitting there, tell people who haven't seen your show yet. Like, I feel like people have seen you. They've either seen you on TV, they've seen you on Fox Soul. But if they haven't seen your show as you're on tour, what do we see at a Lunell Comedy Show?
Well, you'll see people drinking, for sure.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm a really good escape. Like, and even the openers that I choose to have on my show. Sometimes a comic will have an opener that's mid, not as good as them,
right.
So they can shine more.
Right.
But I want my opener to be to exhaust you as well, so that you can say the whole show was amazing. I want everybody to eat. I want everybody to be put on. But you won't. What you won't see is a hack opening for me. You won't see that. No pun intended to the show that I'm on. And you will see people drinking. You will see people in a really good mood. You'll see people really excited to be at the show, because if they don't know me, the person who brought them has told them it's going to be a high energy mental type of show. I'm not jumping around and doing cartwheels like I used to do back in the day, rolling on the floor and doing this and that. But intellectually, if you really listen, then, you know, I don't tell jokes. I'm more of a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are things that people can relate to. I think that they come to have fun and escape reality for a little while and just go off into what I'm talking about. And I think you will see people leave very happy. Yes, I talk about politics. Yes, I talk about sex. Yes, I talk about relationships. Yes, I talk about all of that. Mm-hmm. And some of that need to be talked about. And I don't bite my tongue about it.
That actually was my next question. Because there is a time where talking about some of those topics, there are people who want to silence you, not you specifically, but want to cancel people, want to try to shut people down. You feel like we need to be having these conversations raw, open. You're not scared of those things.
No, and Denzel just spoke about it as well. First of all, I would have to literally, like, kick a dog in the mouth online to be canceled, I think. And cancellation these days ain't like what it used to be. You can be canceled for a week and be back up the next week.
And you got a million plus people following you on social media, so you can't exactly take
that's
away
that's on my
that
Instagram. You got to check my TikTok numbers, right. But
what's the TikTok numbers?
I don't know. They're pretty high. But look, he's checking.
I'm checking.
But
I'm making sure I'm following.
I don't worry about that stuff, because we're, like I was saying earlier to someone, we're one of the last bastions of uncensorship, where we do get to say what we want to say, and people can silence you if you have something to lose. I mean, if I don't do another TV show or another movie or another voiceover, I'm probably still going to eat, because the people, and that's all I care about, is pleasing the people.
Yeah.
Somebody said a phrase. They said, "I'm not an industry comic. I'm a comic in the industry."
Okay.
See, so I'm not out to please networks or anything like that. I don't have any restrictions or morality clauses or anything like that. I mean, heck, I had an OnlyFans. Remember you were talking about OnlyFans?
You did not have an OnlyFans.
Oh, okay.
You had an OnlyFans?
And I was also a Savage X Fenty lingerie ambassador for Rihanna, too. You would think I have the body the way I'd be pulling off my clothes.
Listen.
But I don't know. It's what
okay.
it is. I'm adhering to the 99.9% of women who are chubby like me, and it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Love that. I was checking on TikTok.
Yeah, what are my numbers on TikTok?
I can't tell, and that's part of the problem. That's how you know somebody's got really big numbers, when people who are trying to use your name got really big numbers. So I'm sitting here and pulled it up, and I'm going, that ain't her that says Real Lunel, L-E-W-N-E, like just making up your name. And they got 100,000 followers. Because they trick somebody into thinking
they probably
it was
are
you.
Stealing content of mine and putting
Bunch
it on
haters.
Their page.
We're security.
That's why I know. That's why I start. I used to do Breakfast with Lunel live in the mornings and just be sitting eating my breakfast. But people will record my live and put it on their YouTube page with some salacious clickbait, and then people will fall for that. Go click it, watch it. Now they get paid off of my image. I haven't found out how to shut that down yet.
All right.
So I pulled back from doing it, which is making my fans sad and makes me upset.
All right. When we launch this late night show, I'll get my people to go ahead and figure out
I'm like the way you're talking now. Now,
yeah,
we're not my people. Working with you either.
Listen, I got people convinced I actually have more juice than I do. So we will roll with it. But that's because we're together speaking it into existence. When I'm running the station, we got you.
But you know what's going to happen, though? It happens all the time. You're going to fool around and fall in love with me, and then we have a problem.
We can put that in the contract.
Then your little girlfriend of 10 years is going to have a problem.
You've been waiting for that opportunity, right? We were talking about this during the break.
Go and clean it up.
Interview. Is this?
Girl, give him one more year.
All right.
And then it's time to move on,
sis. Oh, wait, is that your people saying?
He done gave you all his your gold. You done gave him all your golden years. Right. And now maybe she don't want to marry you. Maybe
that is absolutely possible. But when
it's
I'm running
not,
the station,
the,
when I'm running
when
the station,
running
she
station.
Gonna come back.
Yeah, I'll sleep with you too, though.
You're gonna stop me from getting the job.
Don't giggle.
Like, I have to be on.
No,
the
he didn't giggle.
Narrow.
See, I can't even give it away. They get laughing in my vagina.
All right, so. You can follow her on social.
Yeah.
She is on tour. Make sure you are following, getting tickets. City
and we're
going to
be together, and
That's
we're
right.
going to run an empire.
When we're on tour, when we're taking the Lunel late night
yeah.
show to cities all across
That's
the
right.
country.
That's right. I want to do that, by
we
the way.
We got you. Lunel late night?
Yeah. Oh, no. Travel and do it a little bit.
Okay.
You know how some people do it a little bit, like through the year they'll go to... You know, Kelly and
yeah.
they go to Hawaii and stuff like that.
Okay.
I want to do that. Do you like Hawaii?
I like Hawaii.
What's your favorite island?
In Hawaii or in general? I just got back from St. Thomas, but that's not near Hawaii.
That's not Hawaii.
No, it's not. I've only been to Maui, so that has to be
Maui's
my favorite.
Maui's boring.
That's the only one I've been to.
You went there with your girl.
When we,
because that's what everybody does in Maui. That's why it's so boring.
When
Waikiki,
we
baby.
Together.
Waikiki is where the action is.
Our first tour will be Hawaii.
No, it's got to be this. Got to be regular.
We got to go. All right.
We got some things to work
so
out.
So listen, yeah, we'll our people.
We're Godzilla.
We'll
have your people get in touch with my people.
We got this going. Every episode of The Pulse ends with the same theme. The
okay.
theme of the show is how you use your voice for good. So I ask everybody, what does the phrase use your voice for good mean to you?
Well, I think it would mean to use your voice to be kind to people and to make joy for people and make them happy in such a grossly sad world that we're living in right now. Use your voice to be the light that you want to shine on you.
I like it. Lunel in the building. Continued success. Thank you for spending so much time with us. You got to
okay,
put your
baby.
Glasses on.
Call me later, baby.
So we can go. I got my holla at
Call
you.
Call me later.
We us look for our tour coming up soon.
Soon.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you
right.
coming in. Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with comedian and actor and so much more, Lunell. She's been doing it for a minute, so you could hear some of the risque interaction, a lot of fun, pretty informative. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Do me a favor, hit like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is that's on your screen so that you get a notification every week when the next episode of The Pulse comes out. You can hit me up on social media and you can download the Fox Local app. So that way you can listen to all of our or watch all of our shows on demand. I thank you. I appreciate you. And I leave you today as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.